May I have the lyric that we just sang? Jesus, come and fill your lambs. That's you and me. You know, that we be empty out of ourselves. That's my prayer. And filled instead with his Spirit. Last week I had a difficult time. First time out in 5 months, I guess. After a brain injury. And I thank you for your words of encouragement, because it's obvious that I'm a proud man and that I am my worst critic. But as I reflected on last week, I learned this week that it's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do the work. I'm just a voice. So I'm asking for a strong voice. And so this morning, I'm going to be talking about focusing on Christ. Last week, we looked at how in times of waiting, we're to be doing something, not just waiting idly by for something to happen. To focus on Christ, there's some things that we should do as well. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, here's the action. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Here's the action. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In the dark and evil day we live, never before has it been as important to stay focused on Christ. According to these verses in Hebrews 12, there are some things we're to be doing so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. First, eliminate distractions. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And consider Christ, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 reminds us, you've been raised to life, to a new life with Christ. The action, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. The action, think about things of heaven and not the things of earth. Choose you this day in whom you will serve. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. There are so many distractions in this life to keep us from being focused on Christ, such as your bed. It's my day. I just want to stay in bed. Or the grass. It's the only day I have to maintain the house. A man I met in the hospital said, I have too many acres to take care of. And so he would say to his wife, I'm going to go make it look like somebody lives here. And he would cut the grass on either side of the lane leading up to his humble abode. But the only day we have to do that is Sunday. And then there's also the school that works very diligently to getting us distracted for school sports. Sometimes we reserve Sunday for a day of recreation at an amusement park. Sundays seem to have become a day for anything but Christ. distractions such as these must be redirected to Friday or Saturday, or at least trimmed back to maybe once a month versus every week. Try enjoying these activities after 2 p.m. on any given Sunday, and you'll find you will not suffer at all for it. Experience what a little redirect will do for your relationship with Christ. Secondly, we're to stay alert. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor." The action: give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Paul goes on to say, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy. These are things that we are actively to be doing. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by the means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Psalm 1, 1 through 3 tells us the benefit of staying in God's word. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Add to these Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Staying in God's word helps us stay strong and focused. It's our spiritual food and gives us spirit strength. In the same way, food gives us strength and helps us to function properly physically. If we deny ourselves time in his word, we'll become weakened spiritually and will be unable to function the way we were designed or put into practice, which he talks about. God's word instructs us to spend time in prayer and meditation. Communion with Almighty God is essential to keep our physical and spiritual eyes properly focused. When you're alone with God, we gain the greatest strength and are most apt to focus best. I forget who said, the best part of the service. I think I would have to agree it's our time of prayer, because this church is so vulnerable in our times of prayer, how we just lay ourselves open on the table and we say, pray for me. And this church prays. And I think we're stronger for it. And last week we talked about the best is yet to come. When our sin will be gone, there will be no pain, there will be no more suffering. So the best is yet to come. Heed the powerful words of Psalm 46:10. And there are other verses found throughout the Bible. Be still and know that I am God. Being citizens of a dark world, when you're basking in the warmth of his presence, the peace of God fills your heart and your mind It lifts you to places of light that cannot be surpassed this side of heaven. Communion with God gives us strength for the journey and helps us to keep our focus. In this dark and evil day, we must surround ourselves with like-minded believers. This helps us stay strong in the Lord. Years ago, Tracy and I met with a pastor for counseling. He offered this insight: iron sharpens iron, and embers are not kept hot except they be surrounded by other burning embers, and the importance of blowing off the ash to stay hot and keep burning brightly. This year, let us purpose to pay attention to the words of Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us, Christ Little Talpakan Church, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 makes known to us, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone, is in real trouble. Likewise, two people living close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There's no doubt in my mind that there is one in this world who has a strong desire that churches be shut down, because he knows we gain strength when we have fellowship one with another. The devil will do his very best to keep us weak and to have us focus on anything but Christ. At this communion, let us take advantage of the opportunity to implement Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and think intently on verse 3. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And verse 3, this is what we want to do at this communion. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. You know, those verses that I just shared is too true. I have seen it physically in my kitchen 5 months ago. If I was by myself, I would not be here. I would not. Thank you. Without Christ in my life, I would be nothing. That's what God's word says. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. If Tracy didn't have the presence of mind to pick up the phone and call for help, I would be dead. But God is not finished. He's doing something. I don't know how I would make it through this process that I'm in without the knowledge of God's word in my heart and mind. I don't remember it, but I've heard tell that when I was in the hospital and I was writing out scripture, don't ask me why or how, but I will tell you confidently that that is what got me to this point. From this day forward, may we never waver to the right or to the left, but keep both our physical and spiritual eyes focused on Christ. Continue to pray for the leadership of this church, that we would be focused on Him, and that God would continue to use Christ Little Talpakhin Church, or better said, Christ Church at Little Talpakhin, effectively for making a difference in this community. And if it be God's will, the world. If you want to explore more on this topic, if you want to go deeper this week, I would encourage you to check out the whole of 2 Timothy chapter 2. So on that white space in your bulletin, if there is one, I think we printed the lyric of a song on the white space. But there's the space, there's room, plenty of room for 2 Timothy chapter 2. You just write that down. It's an easy read, but it is great counsel. We're about to participate in the Lord's Supper. Everything is prepared. The table's set before us, and all are welcome. Here at Christ Little Talpakhin Church, we celebrate communion according to God's word. It's our desire that this table create unity amongst us. When we see our brothers and sisters in Christ coming to the foot of the cross and receiving that same cleansing, let me reassure you, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to attend regularly. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are welcome at this table. As we share in the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of the cleansing of our sin, and we receive, listen, a clear conscience and a fresh faith. Those who eat and drink appropriately share in the intimacy with Christ, when they eat the bread representing His flesh and drink the cup representing His blood. Quite honestly, you can't get closer to Him here on this earth than here at His table. As we come to the table, focus on the beauty of God's holiness, His mercy, mercies that are new every day, His wisdom and power, as followers of Christ we have access to. Just cry out to the God of the universe, who sent His one and only Son to pay the price we so much deserve. He paid the price we couldn't pay. So without distraction, as we're delivering the bread, think about what Christ endured for you. As we deliver the cup, consider what his shed blood means for you. If I could ask the elders come forward to deliver the elements. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship God in silence. The Bible tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. He took the cup and said, "This cup is a sign of my new covenant. Take, drink in remembrance of me." He said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May we never forget what Jesus did so that we can live abundantly, eternally with our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.